Yehudah Timah tells us to keep away from some of the worst traits and some of the best traits. What are the worst traits and the best traits? Yehudah Timah, Heve Az Kaname. A person should be bold like a leopard. He should be bold like a leopard.
How do you say leopard?
Namer.
Oh, Namer.
Namer is a leopard. He said, bold like a leopard. Leochiach Ovrei Avera. To rebuke people. Sometimes you got to rebuke people. Just got to make sure when you rebuke people, say it nicely and don't do it in front of others. You're not allowed to shame someone in public. Somebody's going to say, can you come outside for a second and I can talk to you? What do you want? Say, you know, I like you very much. You're a good person. Why don't you just a little thing to fix over here. So that's number one. Leochiach Ovrei Avera. To rebuke those who are breaking the Torah. V'lasuk b'Torah habe. Okay, and a person should learn a lot of Torah. Lo tigav, lo tiev. A person should not get tired. He should be bold like a leopard. A leopard doesn't get tired. The leopard just keeps on running. I see the leopards are running. Wow, they run. And that's what we share. So number one is rebuke people. Don't be shy. Sometimes we're shy. But a person's got to do it in a very nice way. If you can't do it in a nice way, don't rebuke. Never rebuke someone in a nasty way because it's going to come backfire. You're going to get worse. So that's number one. Number two is learn a lot of Torah. Don't be tired. It's hard not to get tired. You don't get tired. Don't get tired like a leopard. A leopard just keeps on going. And the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 40, "Bekovei Hashem yachalifu koach." Those who trust in Hashem, Hashem will change their strength, give them strength. Because of trust in Hashem, you see people learning for hours on end. Okay, so those are the two things he says. Be bold like a leopard. V'kal kaneshe, and be light like an eagle. Right, so a person's going to run towards mitzvot. A person's going to light to do mitzvot. Quick, just like an eagle is very quick. It swoops down, takes something very quickly. A person's going to do good deeds very fast. V'ratz ketzvi, and run like a deer. You see a deer run? We got a lot of deers in this town. A lot of deer run. They're usually very placid, but when they want to run, boy, they run fast. Right. So a person should run to do a mitzvah. So a lot of people run around, but they don't run towards a mitzvah. So a person's going to run like a deer towards a mitzvah. V'gibor kari, and be mighty like a lion. What does that mean? So it's the first law in the Shulchan Aruch, in the code of Jewish law. The first law in the Shulchan Aruch is, let's go. Yitgaber kari lavod avodat habore. Get up early in the morning like a lion. The trouble is a lion is one of the laziest animals. You ever see a lion? A lion is sleeping. The lion doesn't do anything. The lioness does all the work. She goes and hunts and she brings children and she does all the work. The lion is sleeping. However, have you ever seen a lion aroused? Oh boy, that's scary. He wakes up like a jumps. And he goes, roar, and that's it. He's the king of the jungle. But when he wakes up, it's like that. Just like that. So that's what he's talking about. Be strong like a lion. What for? La'asot ratzon avicha shebashamayim. To do the will of your God. Your Father in heaven. It's interesting, the word for God over here is your Father in heaven. Avinu shebashamayim. Our Father in heaven. We have a Father in heaven. I used to tell my kids. The kids say, you know, Daddy, how are you going to pay all these bills? I said, I have a father, rich father in heaven. He's my rich father. He's got tons of money. Whatever you want, you can get whatever you want. Unlimited supply. Person should always think, I have a rich father. It's very powerful to have a rich father. So a person's got a wealthy father, powerful father. Okay, so those are the three things. Let's just recap. Number one is, let's go. Az kaname. Be bold like a leopard. Don't get tired. Just keep on going. Learn to run. You have to rebuke other people. Do it in a nice way. Number two. Kal kanesha. Be quick like an eagle. Quick like an eagle. Number three. Run like a deer. You know, there's one of the traits of a person. It's zrizut. Zrizut. It's the first person got to work on zrizut. What is zrizut? Running to do a mitzvah. And be quick to do a mitzvah. And do a mitzvah, but don't just start it quickly. Finish it as well. Who is the classic case? Moshe Rabbeinu. Everything's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moses. Moshe Rabbeinu. And just the parasha we just read. He knows he's going to die. What does he do? He gets the opportunity to put three cities of refuge on the east side of the Jordan. He has three cities of refuge on the east side of the Jordan. He does it before he dies. Why is quick? He said, even though I know I'm going to end off my life, this is my last day on earth, I'm going to do a mitzvah straight away. Boom. Can imagine the last, every opportunity he has to do a mitzvah, he does a mitzvah quickly. Ratzkitzvi, he ran. And be mighty like a lion. That's hard. To get up in the morning. Well, it's hard to get up in the morning, boy. I'm still working on it. It's a work in progress. Getting up in the morning is hard. We're in chapter 5. Mishnah 20. Kaf. To do the will of your Father in heaven. Okay, that's the main thing. The main thing is to have all these traits to serve God with one's traits. A person has a trait. Use your good traits to serve Hashem. Even bad traits to serve Hashem. Some people have a lot of chutzpah. Askanamer. So use your chutzpah to rebuke people of doing the wrong thing. A lot of people have chutzpah, right? Don't use your chutzpah for bad things. That's where we come to now. So the good side, this is the good side of all these traits. Hu Haya Omer, he used to say, Aas panim legeinam. If you have a brazen face, person goes straight to hell. You know, when you play Monopoly, it says over there, go straight to jail. Do not pass go. So he says, go straight to hell. Do not pass go. Aas panim legeinam. How do you go to hell? Brazen faced. What is a brazen faced person? What is a person with a brazen face? In other words, you tell him, you're doing something wrong. Heck with you, get out of here, I don't care, I don't want to hear anything. That's brazen. He doesn't care. He does wrong in public. You see today, many people do wrong and they advertise it. They don't care. They have rights movements for what they're doing. It's wrong completely. I saw completely, and it became like, everyone's proud. I'm proud of it. I'm proud. I saw. So that's a brazen faced person. What happens to a brazen faced person? Go straight to Gehinnom. Now it's interesting, the word Gehinnom is really two words. Gehinnom. The valley of Hinnom. Where is the valley of Hinnom? Anyone know?
No.
It's a valley outside Yerushalayim. If you go to Jerusalem and you stand on the Mount of Zion, Mount Zion, and you look down, that's the valley of Hinnom, right in front of you. The Arabs live over there. Nice place for them. It's also a place for the Cinematheque. The Cinematheque over there, very appropriately, the Cinematheque is in Gehinnom. They show cinemas, movies, and very appropriate. They don't realize the irony, right?
Right.
So Gehinnom is two words, the Valley of Hinnom. What happened in the Valley of Hinnom? Why is it called hell? And the answer is because they used to serve an idol in that valley. The idol called Molech. Molech was a fire god, where they brought the children to burn them in the fire. Okay, there's two opinions. One opinion says they burned it completely. The other opinion says they made it walk through, run through it quickly, and they burnt their feet. So crazy. That was a god, one of the pagan gods. And the Jews would worship this pagan god in the valley outside Yerushalayim. We're talking about Jews in that time. So this is son of Chizkiyahu, Menashe, the evil king Menashe. He was to worship, he himself put his children through the fire god. Meshuggah. So that is Gehinnom. Gehinnom is where people are rebelling against God. A valley where they rebelled against God. They worshipped this fire god. So it became known as the Valley of Fire of Gehinnom. That's Gehinnom. But obviously Gehinnom is not in this world. We're not talking about Gehinnom. We're talking about, there's Gehinnom in this world, heaven in this world, and hell in this world. What is heaven in this world? It's a good joke. Rabbi Miller says, heaven in this world is, let's say, start with hell. What is hell in this world? The rabbi is giving a long drasha, and the clock is broken. And you're stuck. That's hell. What is heaven? Same thing exactly. Depends on your perspective. If you like it, it's heaven. If you don't like it, it's hell. Right? It could be the same place. Can you imagine? A guy goes to heaven. He says, what do we do over here all day? Oh, we stay close to God. And we pray. And we learn Torah. Says, God, this is hell. I'm not used to this. Why? I'm used to playing golf and hanging out in the bar and this. Is there anything like that? Nothing like that over here. Boy, this is hell. No, this is heaven. Your concepts are messed up. Oh, boy. It's an acquired taste. Heaven is an acquired taste. People got to realize that. If you like being here, you're going to enjoy heaven. Because you're going to get a lot more of it. If you don't like being here, don't like being close to God, you don't like living being in shul, it's going to be hell for you. Because that's what it's about. Heaven is, you're going to be close to Hashem. If you don't want to be close to Hashem, it's going to be hell. People don't realize that. So it's an acquired taste. You have to acquire the taste of liking to be next to Hashem. But if that taste is not acquired before you die. A person dies without acquiring the taste, it's going to be hell. What am I doing over here? It's a spiritual world. I don't like spiritual worlds. I like physical worlds. Too bad. That's what it is over here. If you don't want it, don't take it. Finished. Halas. Okay. So that's Asparim Legeinam. What does Asparim Legeinam mean? A person who has no shame. They do a sin in public and they're happy and they advertise it. They're willing to advertise it. Certainly, if a person has embarrassment, they should have some shame. You want to do something wrong? Go do it in private. You want to do it in public to show everyone? It's grace. So that's a person with no shame. So a person with no shame will never do teshuva. Because you rebuke him, you say, ha ha ha, laugh in your face. What are you talking to me? It's my right, it's my privilege, it's my honor, it's my life. It's what I do.
Isn't it the one who steals in the daytime that gets less of a punishment than the one who steals in the nighttime?
Yes. But he's not advertising it. He doesn't want to be caught. He doesn't advertise it. He doesn't go around with a big sign. I'm a robber. I'm proud of it. It's my right. Right? He doesn't have they don't have signs. Robber's pride. Right? They don't walk around like that. They have shame. A robber doesn't want to be caught. Proof is, even in the daytime, he puts a mask on. He doesn't walk around like that. Okay, so he has some shame. A person with shame will go to Gan Eden. The secret of going to Gan Eden is, a person says, I'm embarrassed. How can I do these things in public? How can I advertise these things? I'm embarrassed. And this is one of the signs of a Jew. The Shulchan Aruch says, if you want to marry a girl, look for three things. What are three things? Let's go. Rachmanim. What's Rachmanim? Mercy. Mercy. Baishanim. Shame. Sniut. Modesty. Not bragging, not boasting. It's all part of modesty. The Gomle Chasadim. Three traits of a Jew. Gomle Chasadim is a person who gives kindness. Come over to my house, I'll give you food. You need something, I'll give you tzedakah, whatever you need, I'll give you, I'll help you. That's Gomle Chasadim. Where do we see this? We see this in the story of Eliezer. Eliezer goes to look for a wife for his master's son, Yitzchak. What does he look for? What's his test? If she comes to give me, give my camels water, and she gives me water, that's all he wanted. Gomle Chasadim. Shukhana says, if she has Gemilut Hasadim, take it. But if you can't, look for all three. It's hard to find all three. So number one is shame, embarrassment. See how a person dresses. Are they embarrassed? They walk around like public like that, like a public show. It's like a... Today people have lost their modesty. There's no shame anymore. There's no embarrassment. There's one rabbi has a shiur, he says, people don't blush anymore. People don't blush anymore. People don't blush. They're used to flaunting everything, and they're not ashamed. They're embarrassed. They're not embarrassed. They walk around. That's number one. There's no modesty. There's no shame. Shame means you're doing something wrong. Don't advertise it. Advertising it. I'm proud of it. Number two, rachmanut, rachmanim. Be kind. Be merciful. Have mercy on people. Do you have mercy on animals? Imagine you see a spider. What do you do? Depends where it is. It's outside in the street. What's not bothering you? Why is it bothering you? You see ants crossing the street. What are you going to do with it? Go out of your way. I see a squirrel. I get a ride in the mornings with someone. He sees a squirrel. You know what he does? He swerves. He said, my wife will kill me if I kill a squirrel. Forget about your wife. What about you? How can you kill a squirrel? Just make sure you don't make an accident. That's all. Okay? But just try and avoid it. If you have a chance, why do you want to go out of your way to kill an animal?
Right.
So for that reason, I would never kill. He never killed an insect even. It's very hard.
But sometimes they bite you.
I know. Tell me about it. I know. So I'll kill it. I'll kill it. Listen, I'll kill it. I'll kill it. I would kill it. A mosquito for sure. But something which doesn't hurt you. A little little ladybug, a ladybug, right?
You just tell it to move away.
Let it be. Take it outside. If you can't take it outside. But if it's going to bite you, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. All right. Principle is, if it's not bothering you, leave it alone. That's right. That's Rachmanut. Have mercy. There's a halacha which says, if you have a pet, you have to feed your pet before you eat. Mm-hmm. That's kindness and that's mercy. Why? Because the pet is looking at you. He's looking at you eat. Imagine. You ever seen a hungry pet looking at you eat? It's like the worst thing. The animals looking at you.
They beg,
right? Yeah. Same thing applies to a waiter. You know that?
To what?
A waiter.
Waiter.
Make sure the waiter ate already. Hard to. Would you like some of this? Can you imagine, you tell your waiter over here, you go to a restaurant, and the waiter's looking at you, wow, look at that dessert, wow, it looks good. So would you like a little piece of dessert? And then he has a prayer, which is interesting. He makes a prayer over here. He ends off his Mishnah with a prayer. This is very highly unusual, and that's why it's in our morning prayers. This whole Mishnah is in our morning prayers. If you notice it, you've got to come early to shul and learn. And listen to this. Because most people come late, they miss the whole introduction. This is the introduction. He wrote Sonfanecha. Hashem Elokeinu, please Hashem, may it be your will. Jetivnei Ircha, build up your city, Jerusalem. V'meriah b'yameinu, speedily in our days. V'ten chalkenu t'vatecha. And let our portion be in your Torah. That's amazing. So this is a very important prayer. Okay. So we'll do your will. We'll do all these traits. We'll have all these good traits. You do our will as well. We'll do your will. We'll have shame. Right? We'll have the traits of being quick to do a mitzvah, run to a mitzvah. We'll be quick to rebuke other people. But you do our will as well. What is our will? Build up our city and help us learn Torah. Beautiful. This is a beautiful thing. That's why it became our prayers. It became part of our prayers. Now we come to a very, very important Mishnah. I think this is one of the most important Mishnayot, which is again Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. And this is about learning and pedagogy. About how schools should function. Very, very important Mishnah. He goes to different age groups for different things. Right? So the person says, where am I in his range? How old am I now? Oh, look where I am in. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema's Mishnah. Who I am? Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema says, Ben Chamesh Shanim Lemikra. When a person reaches, a boy reaches the age of 5 or a girl reaches the age of 5, they should start learning Tanakh. Tanakh. Imagine. How many schools teach Tanakh properly? How many? Not many. You may learn a parasha the whole year, or two parashot the year, three parashot a year, maximum. Four parashiyot. It's a massive, amazing achievement. To try and get through Tanakh in your whole, from the age of 5 to the age of 10. In 5 years, finish Tanakh. It's possible. It's possible. You're just going to read faster. You got to go faster, and you don't have to do every single commentary. Huh?
At the age of 5, you're just learning how to read
all together. Okay. Learn to read. Today they learn 4. I mean, you can teach a kid at 4. I don't know why they don't want it. But from 5 to 10, age 5, Ben Chamesh is Ben Chamesh Lemikra. 5 years old, a person should learn the written Torah. Ben Eser Lemishnah. 10 years old, the boy gets 10 years old, he should start learning the Mishnah. 10 years old. Ben Chamesh Esrei LeTalmud. 15 years old for Talmud. So today's schools, number one is they don't learn the whole Tanakh. Number two is they get to the age of 10, they learn Mishnah. But they learn Mishnah for a very few little time. They don't learn Mishnah.
They're on Gemara
already at the age of 10.
Sixth grade. Yeah. Fifth grade is Mishnah. The sixth
okay.
grade is
they learn Gemara. So the trouble is too early. Learning Gemara too early. So it's got to be a sequence, a proper sequence.
You get the Mishnah before the Gemara.
Exactly. Why? Because the Mishnah covers a much more ground. Right. You get an idea what's going on. I'll tell you. I was thrown into the Gemara at a very early age. And I had no clue what's going on, and they didn't even explain what's going on. What is the Gemara? Anyone know what Gemara is? So let's start off. Number one, we know the Torah. What is the Torah? 24 books of Tanakh. Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim. The Torah, which is the 5 books of Moses. Write down. 5 books of Moses, and then we have the prophets. All the prophets.
I believe there are 36 books.
No, 24. And also there are books of the writings. Writing, okay.
I don't know.
So we have.
I know them all inside.
Okay, good, good. The 5 books of the Torah. We have 5 books of the Torah. We have all the prophets, and then we have the books of writings. For example, that is the written book. It's all written down.
What's the oral?
Yeah. All right. All this is the prophets. No, these are prophets. Right. It's prophets. Right. All these are prophets. All the Chumash prophets over here. 24 books. There's one. You can get here. This is the books of the prophets and the writings. Yeah, this is all in English. Rabbi Arya Kaplan, yeah. Living Torah. Okay, he has over here just a few of them. Uh-huh. So,
this is the same one.
Yeah, Arya Kaplan, right? And then we have over here. Where is it? Well, the Alt Scroll. They have also commentaries on the whole written Torah.
All this is written Torah.
Okay, written Torah. Tanakh. Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim. Then we have the oral Torah. What does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. What was he doing over there? He was on vacation. What was he doing over there? Right. The answer is he was learning the explanation of the written law. He was learning the explanation of the written law, which is amazing. Why? Because he memorized it. And he passed it down. The Rambam says, Moses would come down the mountain. Who would he talk to? He'd have a meeting with his brother Aaron. Whatever he learned, he would give to Aaron. Then they'd bring in the two sons of Aaron. He'd repeat again. What he learned, he'd repeat with Aaron and his two sons. Then they brought in the elders, 70 elders. He repeated what he learned to Aaron, to his sons, and to the elders. And then the elders would teach everyone else. So it was repeated like four times. Moshe Rabbeinu repeated four times, memorized everything. And this was transmitted orally. That's why it's called the oral Torah. It was transmitted orally for 1,500 years. Imagine learning all this without writing it down. That's amazing. How do you pass the information down? And that's why we find there are debates in the Mishnah. Why? Because it's passed down orally. And over time, people started forgetting what the rabbi said. And one student said, the rabbi said this. And the other student said, no, the rabbi said something else. So then they said, let's write this down. Before there's too many arguments. There's too many arguments now. So they started writing down the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, straight after the destruction of the Second Temple, in around 100 CE, he started writing down the oral law so that it shouldn't be forgotten. It became known as the Mishnah. What happened was, the Mishnah itself is very, very concentrated. And there's a lot of information in the Mishnah which is not actually brought out. So what the Talmud does, the Gemara, and the Talmud are the same. Talmud discusses, what does this Mishnah say exactly? So it goes into details what the Mishnah says. That's the Gemara. So we have the written Torah, 24 books. We have the oral Torah, which is the Mishnah. And we have the Talmud. And what happened next? Then you got to know, what is the Talmud? Okay, the Talmud brings down all the different debates. So now I got to codify what the law is. What is the bottom line? If you read the Talmud, you got two pages and you got a bottom line over there. So the codifiers, the poskim, the codifiers, the Shulchan Aruch writes down the law. This is the law. It doesn't bring you debates. This is the law. The Rambam brings down the law. That's his law. So you have, let's recap. First you start off with the Tanakh. What is Tanakh?
Torah.
Five books of Moses, the prophets, and the writings. Very good. Why is it called writings?
Shema
Ketuvim. Right. Why is it called writings? Do you know why it's called writings? Because it's not a prophecy. These are books of wisdom. For example, Mishle, it's not a prophecy, it's a book of Proverbs. So it's called writings. Book of Ruth, it's not a prophecy for the future, and therefore it's not the rubric of prophets, it's under the rubric of writing. It's a wisdom. So it's not prophecy for the future. Prophecy for the future is called prophets. Writings are books of knowledge. Okay?
Well, the Megillot.
Right. So that's Tanakh. And then after Tanakh, we have the oral law. The Mishnah, which is in brief, and then you have the Talmud, which explains the Mishnah. And below that is the Halakha. The Halakha is the code written based on the Talmud. The Halakha is the code based on the Talmud. So, the child gets the age of 5, he starts learning Tanakh, written law. He gets the age of 10, he starts learning Mishnah. He gets the age of 15, he starts learning Gemara, Talmud is Gemara. Okay, good. Age of 15, Talmud. Ben Shmona Esrei, 18 years old.
What's the name of this book?
He gets married. Pirkei Avot. Ethics of the Fathers. I'll show you. I'll tell you after. So Ben Shmona Esrei, 18 years old, he gets
married.
18 years old, married.
Good luck.
It's very important. Very good. Ben Etzrim Lirdof, 20 years old, he has to start running around. What's he running around for? He's got to support his family. He starts running. Lirdof. Lirdof means run here, run there, do this, do that. Why? And now he got kids. He's married at 18. He has kids at 20. So he's got to run. Start making a living.
Right.
Yeah. The peak of a person's strength is 30 years old. You're 30 years old. You're the peak of your strength. People don't realize that. Our lifetime is like a parabola. You know what a parabola is? It's a graph. It's like curved at the top and then it comes right down the same way. Our lifetime is a parabola. You've got to realize that. Plus, at the age of 30, I feel good, I feel strong, I feel great. He's running around doing this, doing that. 30 years old.
What are we at
70? Oh, don't tell. 1 second. Slowly. 30 lekoach. 30 is strong. The peak of one's strength. Ben arbaim lebina. 40 years old, you start getting understanding. Well, no, it's this called bina. Bina is understanding of how things work. How does the life work? How does the world work? How does Hashem work?
You start that at
40? And that's 40 years old. 40 years old, you start getting a little bit wise. Before 40, we're like, well, let me give an example. Right? Before you age of 40, you say, what did my parents, what do they know? My parents didn't know much. Person gets older, say, my parents know a bit, When you get to 40, you understand how much your parents really know. That's Bina. Bina is understanding what's going on around you, figuring out the world. It takes 40 years to figure out the world. That's amazing. And by the way,
22 of them, you're supposed to be married?
Yeah, 18. You're still figuring things out. So you figure things out together. You grew up together. What's wrong with that? I grew together with my wife. My wife was 18 and I was 22. We grew together.
You were 22, at least.
Okay. Well, at least. I should have got married at 18. I wish I got married at 18.
She'd be 16.
Good.
Too young. 16
okay.
Is too young. She has to...
Don't worry. Okay. You need your parents... In America, you need your parents' approval to get married at 16. As long as states, they allow women to get married at 16. So look it up. Look it up. There's a lot of states that allow that. Marriage at a young age. Ben Shloshim Lekoa. So listen, they're getting pregnant in high school anyway. Why can't you let them get married already? It's crazy. It doesn't make sense. The whole society is upside down. These girls walking around with little kids in the high school. And let them get married. No, you can't get married. You're having kids already. What difference does it make? So at least legalize marriage. Why can't you legalize marriage? At least she has a husband who can marry her. So it's upside down world. We're living in a crazy world. Okay. You can't get married. But you can have relations. Oh, no problem. That's no problem. But we'll give you the condoms. No problem.
It's sick.
Huh? Pardon?
Actually ready to raise their kids. They're not.
Some of them are. They have kids.
Just because they have them doesn't mean they know how to raise them.
So let them have a husband to teach them with help.
A husband
helps. And if the husband is that age too,
I don't think so. The husband
at least when they grow up, they'll grow together. What's the difference? She's going to be alone in the house. What difference does it make? Ben Shloshim Lekoa. Okay, let's not get involved. Okay. Ben Shloshim Lekoa. 30 years old for strength.
What does that mean?
That means you're at your peak of your physical prowess at the age of 30. The peak of your prowess is 30. That's when people start getting married today. And then it goes downhill from there.
Right, literally.
Ben Shloshim Lekoach. Why? How do we know? Because the Levites would start learning at the age of 25. Mm-hmm. And 5 years they learned, and when they were 30, they started working. Why 30? Because that's when they were strong. So they had a lot of work to do, picking up the pieces, putting it all together, Mishkan. Ben Arbaim Labina, 40 years old, you get understanding. How do we know? Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Matan Hashem lachem lev ladav yinayim lirot." Was naim nishmo ad yom hazeh. Imagine, the Jews were in the desert 40 years, and then Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, "Just this week's parasha. Now you have understanding to understand what's going on." The kids were born in the desert, when they're 40 years old. He says, "Now you can understand what's going on because they're 40 years old." By the way, that's where the Shach, one of the great rabbis we have, with Siftei Kohen, he writes, "That's why a person should learn Kabbalah at the age of 40, because 40 is when you start having understanding." He says, before 40, don't learn Kabbalah. However, the Sephardim, we learn Kabbalah from the age of 20. Not 40, 20. But a person has to be married. A single person should not learn Kabbalah. It's not good. Okay. Ben Chamishim La'etza. 50 years old, a person can start giving advice. When you're 50, hopefully you have enough wisdom, enough life experiences to be able to give advice. Right. So advice is a later age, 50 years old. Ben Shishim Lazikna, 60 years old, old age. Ben Shivim Laseva. Okay. 70 years old is called Seva.
Which is like old age.
So it's interesting. Seva is nice. Seva is good.
Doesn't
why?
It say that God will give you grace period to lady? Doesn't it say
I don't know.
That the Tehillim Bible?
I don't know.
What?
Seva is 70 years old.
Yeah, 70 years old.
Because it says, Seva Tova. The Torah says like this. Let me just tell you what the Torah says. The Torah says, Lifne Seva Takum. Stand up in front of an old person. Seva. The Hadarta Pene Zaken. And give respect to a Zaken. To an old person. What's the difference? So Gemara asks the question, what is Seva? What is Zaken? So it says Zaken is not an old person. Zaken is Zeh Shekana Chokmah. A person with wisdom. Give respect to a person with wisdom. Doesn't have to be an old person. It could be a young person with wisdom. Some people are young and they're wise. Some people are old and not even wise. So you have to give grace to wisdom. And you have to give?
What?
You have to stand up for an old person. So a person, what is old age? So Gemara said, the Mishnah says, 70 years old, like over here. When do you have to start standing up for people? When they're 70 years old. So when a 70-year-old walks in front of you, you've got to stand up. The trouble is today, you can't tell who's 70 years old. Big problem today. We have a guy who's 85, he looks like he's 50. It's very hard to know who's... it's amazing. Today's amazing. The guy's walking around 80 years old, he's like a 65-year-old. Not a wrinkle on his face, no. So how do you know? You can't tell today. They should advertise. Stand up. I'm 70 years old. You got to stand up for me. So 70 years old is the law of standing up for someone. 70 years old. Ben shmonim legvura. When a person is 80, it's a sign they're mighty. It's a sign they've reached old age with strength. Gvura, that's gvura. That's might. Vim begvurot shmonim shana, David HaMelech says in Psalms. Okay, it doesn't get better. Can I guess what? Ben Tishim Lashuach. 90 years old, bent over. 90 years old. And, okay. 100 kilo met v'avar batel min ha'olam. When he's 100 years old, it's like he's dead already. Although there are exceptions to the rule.
Basically,
we had a woman in the shul who was 104. And she was living by herself and cooking for herself. And
wow.
She had a party. She made a party when she was 100. She cooked the food for the party. She just lost her hearing, that's all. But she was great. I mean, it's better she lost her hearing. She was happy all the time. She was really happy. Happiest person I ever knew. She was happy nonstop. And that's what kept her alive.
Right.
Nothing affected her. She was amazing. Lived by herself. She made her own 100-year-old party. Can you imagine? She cooks for her own party. 100 years old. That's fantastic. She was Tilly Mavora. How do you know? Okay. Ben Bagbag says. Now we come to Ben Bagbag and Ben Hey Hey. Very strange names. Bagbag and Hey Hey. What's going on over here? What's Bagbag and Ben Hey Hey? Let's work this out. It's very interesting. Avraham Avinu had a letter added to his name. What was the letter added to his name?
Hey.
Because before he was Avram, and now he is Avraham. Why did he have a hey added to his name? Why was the hey added to his name?
Hashem's name.
Because when he had his Brit Milah done, he now became Jewish.
Right.
When he became Jewish, he had a hey extra. Okay? So now these people are very interesting. One is called Ben Hey Hey, which means he is the son of Hey, the son of Abraham. Why is he a son of Abraham now? He converted!
Nah.
It's a rabbi who converted. Look at this, Ben Hey Hey. And you have Ben Bug Bug. What is the gematria of Bug? Bet Gimel. Bet is? And Gimel is?
Three.
Five is Hey. They didn't want to say he's another son of Abraham. They wanted to hide it. But they called him Ben Bugbug. Bet Gimel. You are the son of a Hey. But I'm not going to hide it for you. I'm not going to tell everyone you're a convert. I'll tell everyone Bugbug. So that became his name, Ben Bugbug. So look at this. How knowledgeable they were. We have Mishnayot. Ben Bugbug Omer. Ben Bugbug says, Hafochba. Keep learning Torah. Because everything is in the Torah. Learn it properly, because the Vilna Gaon could learn math from the Torah. He said everyone's name from the beginning of time to the end of time is mentioned in the Torah. Can you imagine? So someone came to him and said, tell me what my name is. He says, right here in this pasuk. Your name is right hinted over here. Amazing. I don't have that ability. I wish I did. So you've got to learn more. You've got to keep on uncovering. And in it you will see. Wow, this is like in a code. He's talking in a code. So he says, number one is, keep delving into the Torah. Everything we know, everything is in the Torah. All the sciences, all the math, all everything's in the Torah. You know, it's amazing. Think about it. NASA, it took them till 1950s to find out how long the lunar month is, the three decimal places. Moshe Rabbeinu had this information 3,300 years ago. Because we have the lunar calendar. So you got to figure it out. Lunar calendar. It's amazing. So we have more information. We have more information than NASA 3,300 years ago. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
If they didn't have to go to the moon, they wouldn't know exactly how long the lunar calendar is. I'm talking about to the split seconds, three decimal places. We had it a long time ago. So everything's in the Torah. And you have to learn geometry to be able to plan it out. You have to know astronomy to be able to plan it out. So we had it already. It's in the Torah. So Ben Bagbag says, let's see it again. Hafokhba, hafokhba. Learn the Torah this way and this way. The Kulaba. Everything's inside the Torah. V'siv ubleble. And even when you were old, siv is like, right? Ubleble. When you're old and you lost everything, keep on learning Torah. Mimena lo tazua. Don't move away from it. Okay, so a person, that's a famous question. Someone came to Rabbi Ishmael, his nephew came to Rabbi Ishmael. He said, Rabbi Ishmael, I learned the whole Torah. I know it backwards and forwards. Can I go and learn science now? Can I go and learn something else? He says, you can't, unless you find me a time which is neither day nor night. Why? Because the angel told Yahushua, Vagita bo yomam v'layla. You will study Torah in the day and the night. So even though you know it, you still just have to tell your day. So find me a time which is neither day nor night, and you can study the other things. So that's the question over here. So that's what Ben Bag is saying. Ben Bag is saying, don't leave the Torah. Always learn Torah. Okay. Let's go to Ben Hehe. Ben Hehe Omer. Very famous. Lefum Tzara Agra. The more trouble, the more reward.
Say it again.
Lefum, it's Aramaic. That's why it's not Hebrew. Lefum Tzara Tzara.
Yeah.
According to the trouble, Agra. Agra is wages, the wages you get.
Okay.
The more trouble, the more reward. What does that mean? For example, I have two kids. I'm just giving an example. This is not personal. Don't get. It's not personal. I have two kids. I have one kid. Okay, it's two kids. One kid, didn't have to do anything. He studied himself. He did his homework. Pleasure, pleasure. The other kid, I gotta bug him and persecute him and trouble him because he doesn't do anything. The guy's lazy, bone idle, doesn't learn, doesn't study. Who do I get more reward for raising? The one I didn't have much to do, or the one I put in all my efforts?
That's it.
So that's the answer. So that's what the Mishnah is saying.
Effort.
According to your investment, Hashem will give you a reward. So you have two people. One person, everything's easy for him. Hashem says, listen, it's easy for you, I expect more for you. Right? I'm not going to give you so much reward. It was easy for you. It was easy for you to be Jewish. It was easy for you to be religious. It was easy for you to keep Shabbat. It was easy for you. Another guy, I've got to sweat. I got a Yetzirah. My Yetzirah says, do this and do this, and I got to keep controlling my Yetzirah. It's hard. Rabbi, it's hard. You get much more reward. The harder it is, the more reward you get. You have one guy has many kids, but they don't take much time. Very easy to get along. The other one has one kid, but he takes effort. He gets more reward. It's amazing. Think about it. Hashem rewards a person according to their troubles. He doesn't reward us according to what we achieve. He rewards us for how much trouble you have getting in. For example, one guy can learn the whole Talmud, and the other guy can learn five pages. But the time he put in was the equivalent of the other guy willing seven. So can you imagine, he gets the same amount of reward. Why? Because Hashem pays us back according to our efforts. He doesn't pay us back for our achievements. It's amazing. He rewards according to the efforts. So the Fum Sar Agra, it's a very, very important idea. The person says, you know what, it's so hard for me to do this. It's so hard. You know what, that's when you're getting more reward. The harder it is, the more reward you get. So it's not like a person goes to college and he goes for an exam. And he studied for 50,000 hours. I'm just exaggerating. And he gets his F. But he studied so hard. In God's world, I go by how much you studied. I don't care what you're... If you passed, you failed. In my book, Hashem says, I pay you according to your efforts. The more effort you took, the more reward you'll get.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes.
What reward when the school won't take you back? Or you?
I'm not talking about reward in this world. I'm talking about reward in the next world.
But that's
Hashem pays you in the next world. Doesn't pay you in this world.
But you have to get through to the next...
Yeah, of course. Well, everyone gets through. Don't worry. You get through.
I'm done. I mean...
You're not done. You're not done.
I'm done.
No, it's not true.
Like, you better say
no. Line. Don't say that. You're not done. Every bracha you say, reward.
Oh, no, I don't mean that.
That's what I mean. Every amen you say, reward. You're not done. You got a long way to go. Anyway, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we finished this book. This book ends end of chapter 5. Officially, it ends at chapter 5. The rabbis added another chapter.
Chapter 6, right?
They added chapter 6. Why they add chapter 6? Anyone know why they added chapter 6? And the answer is because they wanted this book to be read between Pesach and Shavuot. One chapter a week. And the 6 weeks between Pesach and Shavuot. 49 days. 50 days. 6 weeks. And therefore, they added an extra chapter. So this chapter deals with learning Torah. The sixth chapter deals with learning Torah. And Rabbi Meir Baranes, one of the five students of Rabbi Akiva. Imagine Rabbi Akiva. Think about Rabbi Akiva. 24,000 students died. What does he do after that? What would I do? I don't know. Be mourning and just give up. He goes, the Talmud says, he goes to the south and he finds five more students and he teaches them. Mm-hmm. From these five students come the whole Torah we have today. The whole oral law we have today comes from them. And one of the greatest was Rabbi Meir Baranes. He was the main author of the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Baranes. So Rabbi Meir Baranes says, a person has learned Torah. Now there's different ways of learning Torah. What does that mean? Different motivation for learning Torah. Why would a person learn Torah? Let's give an example.
In order to know what to do.
So that's learning Torah for the right reasons. That's called Torah Lishma. I'm learning Torah for the sake of learning Torah, to learn what to do. That's a very high level. Person says, you know what, I want to be a rabbi, I want to get some fame, I want to get some fortune. He's learning Torah for the wrong reasons. That's called lo lishma, not for the right reasons. So Meir says, if you learn Torah for the right reasons, zoche ledvarim harbe, a person is worthy of many things. He doesn't go into great detail, but he's worthy of many things. That means the reward is going to be tremendous. The reward is going to be tremendous. Tremendous reward. You have many things. Below od, not only that, ela shekol haolam kulo kedai hulo, the whole world was created for him. If you're learning Torah, the world was created for you because God wants you to learn Torah. Nikra Re'ah is called a friend of God. Nikra Hu is called the beloved of God. He's called Lohevet Amakom. He's called someone who loves God. Lohevet Abriyot loves people. Misamech Amakom. He makes God happy. How do you make God happy? You know how to make God happy?
Follow the commandments.
Learn the Torah. Yeah. You make God happy.
Fear God and love God.
Beautiful. Misamech Abriyot. He makes people happy. And Mubashto Anavavira, he gets the garments of humility and fear of Hashem. And it prepares him, Liot Tzadik V'chassid Yashav Neman. Makes a person a Tzadik, which is righteous, a Chassid, a pious person, Yashav Neman. So the question, let's just talk a little bit about, what is a Tzadik? What is the definition of a Tzadik? Tzaddik is a righteous person. What is a righteous person? There's different definitions of a righteous person. So the Rambam gives a definition. He says, if you have more good deeds than bad deeds, you're righteous. In other words, it's like a weighing scale. According to Rambam, it's like a weighing scale. On one side, Hashem puts the good deeds. On one side, Hashem puts the bad deeds. If there's more good than bad, in other words, the weight is higher. I'm not talking about quantity, I'm talking about quality and quantity together. I mean, we have no way of finding this out. Right? One person maybe do a mitzvah with a very tremendous quantity and quality, which may outweigh someone else's mitzvah, which are many but very bad quality. So it's quantity and quality. Let me give an example. Okay. My father says, get me a glass of water. Daddy, I'll get you 5 glasses of water.
There's no reason for that.
Listen, why not? Daddy says, give me a glass of water. Give me 5 glasses of water. Give me a whole jug full of glass. Right? But he does it with a good heart. And brings a whole jug full of water. What's the quality of that mitzvah? It's not just quality, it's also quantity. Father asked for one, he gave him 5. Even better.
Do enough good.
It's fantastic. It's high level. The father says, give me a glass of water. The guy says, okay, Dan, I'm coming. I'm busy right now. I'll come, okay. 5 hours later, gets a glass of water. So which one's better? So you can't, there's no comparison. So you have to have quantity and quality. We're going to try and aim for mitzvot. So today, I was getting a guy today, he was praying extra. He's adding prayers. There's many different sigulot for riches and this and that. You say the whole parasha of the man is the manna falling from heaven. It's every day you get wealth and this and that. There's all sorts of sigulot, all sorts of things you can add to your prayers. So I told him, listen, before you add anything, make sure you prayed everything. Make sure you do the minimum before you add anything. Do the minimum first. Right? Before you add to anything, so that's the difference between a tzaddik and a chassid. A tzaddik does the minimum, but he does it well. He has more good than bad. That's a tzaddik, according to Rambam. more good deeds than bad deeds in God's scale. Trumps, we don't know. Now, Chassid goes beyond that. I want to do extra. God says to give 10% charity, I'll give 20%. Okay, that's a Chassid. He's one step ahead. He's gone one step ahead. God said to pray Jacharit once a day, I'll pray twice a day. Are you allowed to do that? In those days, you're allowed to. If you'd be able to concentrate for the Shemona Esrei, you can pray Shemona Esrei many times. It's called a nidava, a free will offering. I can pray to God extra. I want to pray. Pray all day. Right? There's a minimum, there's no maximum. You can pray all day. You can say Tehillim all day long. You want to pray, you can pray all day. So a Sadiq would say, this is my fixed time, I'm going to fix. That's it. I'm not going to add to what I have to do. A Chassid will say, I want to add. A pious person will go beyond the requirements of the law. The Mesirat Yesharim says, no. A Tzaddik is a person who keeps the whole Shulchan Aruch, the whole code of Jewish law. Oh, that's hard. Keep the whole thing, that's a Tzaddik.
It's easier to follow the Rambam.
Exactly. It's much easier to follow Rambam.
Most of us are probably Tzaddikim if we follow the Rambam.
Exactly. Maybe we follow Rambam. Anyway, but that's Rambam lowers the bar a bit. It just goes by the balance. More good than bad, Sonny.
He makes it easier.
Makes it easier. Okay, ladies, so now we have to discuss what we're going to learn next. Because we finished Pirkei Avot. It's all Hebrew. This is all Hebrew, but you can get both.
All Hebrew.
This is all Hebrew. Let's discuss.